What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at Fightful Select Backstage Report Podcast. Man, do we have a loaded Tuesday for you guys. Just a ton of news. We had the news that Warner Media is putting out a new AEW show, or at least they claim they are. This dropped this morning. We're going to go ahead and talk about that. They say that a new AEW show is on the way. Stu Grayson and Tommaso Ciampa's match getting changed on Raw. Roderick Strong. All this happened after I dropped the Fightful Wrestling Weekly this week. So let's go ahead and jump into it. AEW, some of the pitch names are To the Top, Fight to the Finish, All Access, Breakout, Uprise, The Climb, To the Mat, Road to the Belt, Friends and Enemies, Grit and Glory. I've also been told that there are reality series that have been pitched, sizzle reels that have been filmed. Adam Cole, Britt Baker, DMD, Swerve Scott, Darby Allin have all been discussed, pitched, etc. Don't know if any of those will actually end up happening, but they've been pitched, mentioned, etc. We're going to work on getting more details, but looks like that Warner Media AEW relationship is strong. Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics, I cannot recommend that subscription nearly enough for you guys, has speculated, you know, maybe Warner's got a bit of a stake in AEW, which would make an awful lot of sense, right? I mean, that's a way to maximize your results. I just think there are a lot of good things on the surface about that. I mean, you're getting cheap content that delivers viewership. You are essentially feeding yourself there at the table. I think it's a good idea for Warner to get in the wrestling business with AEW. Stu Grayson has left AEW, at least as of now. His deal has expired. He's technically a free agent. That's why he was removed from the roster page, along with Marco Stunt, Joey Janela, Jack Evans. Many online speculated this was an error, but we're told that's not the case. I've been told Angelico, Jack Evans' partner, and Evil Uno are still on the roster. They're still there. But talent that we've spoken to say that AEW had offered a new deal and wanted to retain Grayson, but that terms were not reached by May 1st. The deal expired. Those that we spoke to do not believe that the door is closed for potential return. He last appeared at the April 27 tapings for Dark Elevation that aired on May 2nd, which is a far cry from what happened with Marco Stunt and Joey Janela, who were off TV for months before they ended up getting the word that they wouldn't be re-signed. Even Jack Evans had not wrestled since early February, so this was way, way different, but we're told that AEW did want to retain him. His last match actually ended up airing on May 2nd, which was after his contract was up. We'll work to learn a little bit more about this, but I think he's one of the most underrated performers in wrestling, period. I think he's great. Tommaso Ciampa, he was scheduled to face Finn Balor on Main Event this week, and which would have been one of the biggest Main Event matches in a long time. And he was scheduled to work heel after appearing and attacking Mustafa Ali last week. Well, it's kind of weird to me that Ali didn't address this, didn't bring it up or anything in his promo this week. You would figure he would want to kind of deal with that. But either way, we've got Ciampa facing Apollo Crews this week as a babyface after he appeared as a heel last week, worked as a babyface this week, and then appeared again as a heel. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But he was originally scheduled to face Finn Balor on that show. As we reported yesterday, Roderick Strong recently requested his WWE release. Not going to go into heavy detail on this, as I did a full breaking news podcast on this yesterday. We're working to give you some more content on Fightful Select. Give you more for your $5, you know. So I sat down and did a live 20-minute show where I went through the ins and outs. Please don't trust the aggregations. I've already seen like 4 or 5 aggregations of people taking what I said and sort of twisting it and saying that Roderick Strong wanted this, Triple H wanted that, etc. Just, I mean, I would encourage you to just listen to the audio in that sense, because there's a lot of people that are kind of getting liberal with that, those words. WWE releases last week, really unfortunate news. Malcolm Bivens, also known as Stokely Hathaway, Dakota Kai, Raylan Devine, Mila Milani, Draco Anthony, Sanjana George, Persia Perota, Harlan, Dexter Loomis, Paige Prinzivalli, all released Friday, April 29th. We'll be speaking with Persia, Stephanie DeLander, this week in her first post-WWE interview. John Laurinaitis made those cuts and cited budget cuts as the reason. The email said, due to budgetary cuts with immediate effect as of today, April 29th, we've come to the terms to the release of the following. They have 30-day non-compete clauses. We're told that Malcolm Bivens, now Stokely Hathaway again, made it abundantly clear that he didn't plan on re-signing with the company. There were main roster pitches for him to be involved with Omos, and passed on that as well, from what I understand. He made it well known that he was not going to be remaining with the company when his deal was up, and they wanted to get him signed well before his deal was up. And he said, thanks but no thanks, and they ended up releasing him. Dakota Kai was said to have seen the release coming. Beyond that, she had indicated that she was not planning on renewing her contract, which is up next year as well. So this seems like both of those were in that boat of where they were like, well, we like them. They're useful. They were bringing Dakota Kai in for dark matches all the time. And they said, well, no, as a result of, and this is me spitballing, I would imagine they said as a result of the type of creative going on, probably not going to re-sign, and didn't. And WWE is like, well, what's the point in us keeping them here if they're not going to re-sign? However, you got people like Roderick Strong who are asking for their releases. It's very confusing, the WWE approach, but both of these people had made it clear they were not going to stay, so they both wanted to be elsewhere. I was told that Harlan had not progressed in the ring the way that coaches and officials would have liked. There was one NXT official that contacted us and expressed frustration that several angles, acts, and stories were affected with little to no notice or preparation. We spoke to several of the stars that were in good spirits, it seemed, all things considered. Speaking of NXT, the former Ember Moon made news when she remembered a WWE meeting where female wrestlers were encouraged to dress sexier. We had learned about these meetings several months ago, but I couldn't get anybody on the record about it. There were several people who actually didn't attend those, and they were done under the guise of fashion consulting, fashion aid. They brought in a woman named Melanie Pace, who's a fashion expert, to conduct the meetings back in October 2021. There's a wrestler in NXT that said it was a stark contrast because prior, most on the roster, main roster, and otherwise, were just encouraged to wear their gear or an available merchandise shirt. And several people on the roster expressed displeasure and pointed the finger at John Laurinaitis, said they started to take place when he regained power. We've not been able to confirm that he had anything to do with those, though, but one talent on background said that they were told, or encouraged, rather, instead of told, to dress similarly backstage and didn't outright say dressing sexier was spoken aloud, just implied. This was seen as one of the big changes following Triple H's departure, as, of course, there were many of them. Naomi spoke with Fightful, said that she was very happy to be working with Sasha Banks at WrestleMania, and said that Sasha could very well be doing her own thing. She was so excited for Tamina's wedding as well, and she was happy with the Sonya Deville feud, and said originally she didn't know how long it was going to carry, and she didn't seem that optimistic about it. And by that I mean how long it would last, because she's never really had a story that she said lasted longer than a couple of weeks. However, she did get to see Cameron return as a part of that, and she said that she would like Cameron to come back as part of a bigger Funkadactyl reunion, and that Cameron has indicated to WWE she would like to do so. Alicia Atout is going to remain with MLW. She confirmed Fightful Select's report that she has signed a new deal, an extension, with MLW. I was told that her deal was up at the end of this year. She signed a multi-year deal in 2019. I was able to confirm that was a three-year deal. That has been extended. She aligned with Richard Holiday. And how about this? Got some more contract news there. Richard Holiday signed a multi-year deal in 2020. It still has plenty of time remaining. So MLW has locked down Hammerstone, Mads Kruger, Alicia Atout, Richard Holiday, Jacob Fatu. Those are five really integral parts of that roster that they have been able to solidify and anchor. And that's good for that company because those are five very prominent people. Even Alicia outside of the ring has such a good social media presence. Atut told me that she pitched working as a performer outside of interviewing about 8 months before the seeds were planted in MLW. So before the actual turn, we're probably talking about a year. She noted that Court Bauer told her they would circle back to it, and eventually they did. She's still interviewing and working in that capacity, but knew she could also work well as an on-screen performer. She said that EJ Nduka, Alex Kane, Emilio Sparks, and others approached her backstage after the angle, which was a surprise to people in the locker room. Matt Hardy, we spoke to him too. He admitted to Fightful that he sees himself in a transitional period of his career as he's 30 years into taking bumps. And the podcast is a big part of him transitioning into something he can do for years without taking bumps. So he's now on the air with John Alba for The Extreme Life of Matt Hardy, which I think is one of the best wrestling podcasts out there. It's so much fun. It's not just about Matt Hardy, so you guys should definitely check that out. He looked at his career and he realized there was no shortage of things that he could go in depth about and involve a lot of other talent that can be covered as well. I was able to sit in on the recording of the Final Deletion podcast, and it was really, really good. He's very happy that wrestling's changed from the late 90s, where there were hazing methods to see if talent was going to stick around, or just in general. But he said that locker rooms have changed to mirror society and what is okay there, and he's happy that people are treated more like humans, from media and journalists to wrestlers. He also told us that before he signed with WWF, they had entertained the idea of going to both WCW and ECW. He and Jeff had been told to keep coming to WWF shows and doing what they were doing, and they thought that WWF were full of shit at that point. But at the end of 97, WWF told them they planned on signing the Hardys, and they made it happen in early 98. They were going to do ECW tryouts and work an international tour with Sandman, had started to talk with WCW. They had wrestled Scott Hall, Mike Rotunda, Sean Waltman, a lot of people who had reputation in the company and could sort of go to bat for them, even though we weren't told that anybody specifically did. They had that ability. So, yeah, it's pretty wild to think, what if the Hardys went to ECW or WCW instead of WWF? I mean, I'm sure they would have ended up there, you know, within a few years anyway, within 3 years, but those were three very important years for the Hardys. Virtual Basement, The Wrestling Code. Now, recently, Falaba was put back into that game. That's what prompted me to find out that Falaba was no longer with Impact. In 2020, Impact pulled all their contracted talent from the game, and we've learned a little bit more. We're told the Virtual Basement had meetings with Impact, and there were pitches for the developers to work on the first new Impact game in over a decade. However, we learned that Impact's parent company, Anthem, nixed Impact Wrestling stars appearing in the game, but wanted the two sides to work together on that game. This would have required Wrestling Code to be put on hold. Virtual Basement would have had to fund the game, and obviously this didn't end up happening. And as a result, we are told there are no plans for Impact to release a video game. No release date scheduled for Wrestling Code, so the people that get hurt here are the wrestlers and the fans, because Impact is not putting out a game anytime soon, that much I assure you. Some backstage WWE notes. Abyss Chris Park has not been helping with the Ezekiel story for those that have asked. This week's main event episode, or last week's, was number 500. Seth Rollins is still listed internally as Seth Freakin' Rollins. And WWE taped two episodes of SmackDown. They had many of the same crews of talent and producers working together to streamline the process. So if somebody produced a Charlotte match on the first set of tapings, they probably did the second. Deonna Purrazzo, we spoke to her ahead of her AEW debut and Impact Under Siege in Newport, Kentucky. As a Kentucky boy, I am very excited about wrestling being back in the area. So happy about that. She had an insane couple of weeks going from Rebellion in New York, Impact Media in Cincy, AAA in Mexico. She's going to go to AEW in Baltimore, fly back to the Cincy area for Under Siege. She said that the AEW appearance was a long time coming, but she's known pretty well since before Supercard of Honor that it was going to happen. It would have been difficult for her to make both Multiverse and Supercard of Honor because she had an injury. She had a hematoma on her leg from catching a dive and could barely walk up the steps, much less work two matches of that level in the same night. She said that Scott D'Amore called her and informed her what Tony Khan's pitch was And everything ended up working out. She was scheduled for All In, which was sort of like the preface for AEW. But she was told by WWE that her contract wouldn't be there if she did. As it turns out, AEW emerged from that show. That contract would have absolutely been there. Not only would Deonna Purrazzo's contract have still been there after All In, they probably would have bid a lot more on her and then probably had to use her a little bit better. But she said that there were part of a regret. There were some regrets of her not doing it because Chelsea and Britt are her two best friends and they talk about it all the time and she feels like a loser in the corner. But she still feels like that match can happen and it can be bigger now than it would have been because all of them are bigger stars in much different ways. Deonna rose to fame and impact and became champion in three companies. Britt Baker, DMD, is the top female star in AEW, arguably. And Chelsea Green has established much more prominence, even though she's appeared on ROH, NWA, and Impact, has really increased her profile in the indies. She did, however, confirm that ROH tried to sign her following her WWE release. This was reported by Fightful Select in 2020. However, she had already verbally committed to Impact and did not want to go back on that. She said that Delirious and Bobby Cruz had discussed using her with Scott D'Amore, but it didn't happen in 2020, so they circled back in 2021, and they made it a reality, which is great for everybody because it's been a fantastic run for her. Check out our full interview. It's on youtube.com/Fightful. We always love to give you these early access notes as well, because I know some of you might not have time to take in these full interviews and stuff, but I hope you guys like it. I got one with Moose coming this week and, of course, Persia as well. We're scheduled to film on Wednesday, so it'll probably drop Friday. Early access for you Tier 2 subscribers. But Fightful Select, a backstage report. I want to thank you all so much for joining us. Until next time, we're out.